with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. Strokes don't just happen to older people. They can occur at any age, and the effects can be just as debilitating. The sudden disruption to careers and family life can be particularly devastating to younger people. Jenny Sheldon was in her 40s, married with a busy career as a drama teacher and an active social life, when she suffered a severe stroke. She lost use of her right side and her speech. Through sheer determination and extensive rehabilitation, she regained mobility, but no use of her right arm. When you listen to this edited interview, you will notice that Jenny has residual difficulty with her speech. But nothing has dampened her optimism, and she has used this to write a book about her journey. Barbara Sullivan has been assisting Jenny with reading her book, I Will, for the 2RPH book reading program. At this time, she took the opportunity to have a conversation with Jenny about the circumstances of her stroke, her recovery, and her mission to help others in the same situation.
Hello, Jenny. It's wonderful to have you in the studio with us. Thanks for coming up from Canberra. You have been through a tremendous lot in the last, 11 years since your stroke. Why don't we start by talking a little bit about the circumstances of your stroke itself?
Well, I was at school, at Lismore High School.
You were teaching there?
Yes. Yeah. I was a drama and English teacher before my stroke. And I was taking a drama class and I had a warm-up and the right arm spasmed. I must have looked bad because the class got me sitting down and they went immediately to get help. Anyway, I was carried out. The ambulance was called and my husband was called. Anyway, I went in the ambulance.
That was the change of your whole life. It changed in that instant.
Yes, it was the June long weekend and I was going away to Wintersun, but it didn't happen in that instant. It happened overnight. I had a big stroke.
So that was just a little precursor.
Yes.
And were you in hospital when that happened?
Yes.
So they managed to work very quickly.
Yes.
And save you from further damage.
Yes.
So you woke up after all of that. And what did you find in terms of your body and your function?
I couldn't move my right side and I couldn't speak. And I wanted to know why.
And you couldn't speak. Yeah. And your mind was still working as actively as ever.
Yeah, it's...
Presumably you were in hospital, then you had extensive rehab. At what point did you decide that you were just going to get on with life?
Almost immediately. Because I didn't want to be a burden on my husband and on my parents. And I wanted to live life to the full. And I had many dark moments, let's say.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
And what was your support network like?
Good friends helped me and my marriage broke up and I went to Sydney with my parents to live. After a year of living with it, I had enough with Brad and...
Who wasn't very supportive, I gather.
Yes. And he tried to be, but he couldn't get past it.
So it's very difficult suddenly at the age of 45, when you've been so independent, suddenly to be back in Sydney living with your parents.
Yes.
And dependent on them.
But my parents were wonderful.
And your father was a doctor.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a gynecologist and obstetrician.
So you've said in your book, which we'll talk about shortly, that one of the ways out for you was singing, taking up where you left off. And in your previous life, before the stroke, I suppose everything comes down to BS and AS. In your BS life, you loved singing and you had harboured a desire at one point to be a singer.
Yes, I wanted to be a singer. I always sang from a little girl. I wanted to be a singer. You know, it's funny how life takes you. I wanted to be a jazz singer. And I got the exchange. I got 18 months of Monday nights. And
wow.
Yeah. I loved it. And I was going to be a singer, but then Brad came along. It didn't eventuate, but I've always sang. And I find I can still sing. And
you remember all those songs, and
yes,
you can sing fluently,
yes,
whereas speaking is much harder for you.
Yeah, the right brain has stored all the songs.
And your speech works when you sing.
Yes.
Do you know, there's an interesting bit in your book that describes what you've just talked about. Would you mind reading that bit from the book?
Okay. The percussion instruments and the guitar and piano were all playing an introductory instrumental piece. I was nervous. I braced myself. Then I was introduced, and the next thing I knew, I was addressing the patrons. This is a jazz jam, and I'm Jenny Sheldon, and I'm going to sing a few numbers straight for you now. But for anyone else who wants to sing, all you have to do is see Melanie. I gestured towards another singer who waved to the audience so everyone would know who she was. And now, let's dive into our first set with a song you'll all know, Fly Me to the Moon. Okay, boys, count me in. Singing this particular number always made me feel so happy. Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. The lyrics really express the soaring feeling people have when they're falling in love. In other words, hold my hand.
That was wonderful. We got a bit of reading from the book, and we got some of your singing too. Two in one. Jenny, this was before the stroke. What have you done in the way of song to resurrect your interest and abilities?
Well, I'm in Canberra now, so Rachel Hoare has got a choir of a cappella, and it's pop-up choir, and oh, it's wonderful. And Stuart Davis has a Stairwell to Heaven choir, like
Stairwell?
Stairwell to Heaven.
Stairwell, as against stairway. They practiced in the stairwell, I think you
yes,
said.
Yes.
I believe you travelled with them recently. Travel is another thing that you
yes.
were so determined to get back into.
Yes.
This was a special singing in Italy tour,
yes,
was it?
Yes.
Yeah, fun.
Yes. Anyway, Stuart asked me to go on it, and I armed and ahed, and yes, I have to go on it. It's beautiful. Like in Florence and in Siena.
So you had a travelling group of songsters. So
yes.
would you, on a top of a mountain or something, pile out of your bus and start singing?
No. It was pop-out choirs, like in Siena. We popped out and did a thing, and we sang in a church in Florence.
Glorious.
Yeah.
So travelling must be difficult, given that you've got no use of your right hand, your right leg presents difficulty.
Yes.
And speaking is hard. Talk a little bit about travelling with your sort of disability here.
Well, I cope. Well, earlier I travelled to Italy and I wasn't coping because my friend was at the airport and got me. I wasn't coping. I got lost.
It's easy enough to get lost in Italy.
Yeah. But I got lost. Well, I thought I was coping well, and I got back on the train and went to a certain place, and I thought, oh, no, this isn't the way home. And I got off the train and a man spoke to me. Anyway, he was Italian and he talked English and he was very supportive and went on the train and told the officials that I wanted to go on the train, and I paid a certain amount and I went back.
So you got home.
Yeah.
One of the things about travel on your own, you meet people, I imagine.
Yes. And New Orleans, oh, Jamie St. Pierre, he was a wonderful singer, the Spotted Cat or something. And I was talking to him.
And when you were in Italy, you saw the three tenors and
yes.
you were having dinner on your own.
Yes.
And you were telling me the story about the English women.
I thought they would be bound to have a host. Anyway, they didn't end up having a host.
It was just you?
Yeah. I thought, oh, okay. And anyway, there was the English woman and they were all relatives. And they adopted me. They got me into a bus.
So, Jenny, talk a little bit about writing the book. You started writing the book several years after you had done all your rehab and were starting to get your life back together. What made you write the book?
Well, I wanted to help people and get it out there. I started to write the minute I had the stroke, but I couldn't communicate well. And I had to put a back burner. I took 4 years to write the book. And the Sydney School of Arts and Humanities, I went to their workshop for writers and I met Christine Williams. Anyway, she's become a friend of mine. Well, she knew Sharon Dean and I knew Sharon Dean from the Northern Rivers. And she was writing stories about the people in nursing homes and writing good stories. Anyway, she was part of the choir. Anyway, I forgot about her.
She popped up as a possible editor.
I went on a journey with my life with her. And
she helped you formulate the book.
She helped me formulate the book. I couldn't have done it without her.
She gave it some structure. You had your thoughts and your memories and I must say your memory hasn't been affected at all by the stroke.
No. I want to help people, particularly stroke, because they can do things.
And it is so frustrating when they can remember when they did things very easily and they still have the mental capacity.
I know.
And the body just won't play ball.
Yeah, it must be frustrating because people are in wheelchairs. I am not in a wheelchair. I walk and talk and communicate. I am lucky.
So, Jenny, part of the book at the end is that you give your tips for stroke survivors. And being somebody who's eternally optimistic and has experienced so much in her post-stroke period, I thought it would be useful if we actually read out the tips for survivors.
Okay. Jenny's suggestion for stroke survivors. Find your passion. Never give up. Be grateful. Relax. Use your brain. Volunteer. Travel. Medication. Nurturing friends. Seek counselling. Live healthy. Catch some sun with protection. Acupuncture helps. Try advanced rehab. Attempt new things and do old things differently. Trust that life will improve.
Jenny, I think we could all benefit from that. Jenny's tips for surviving in the modern world. I have been speaking with Jenny Sheldon, talking about her stroke, her recovery, and her uplifting book, I Will, a memoir of stroke, renewal, and the power of song. It will be broadcast on 2RPH on our book reading program. If you missed some of today's AbleQuest, it will be available as a podcast on the 2RPH website.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.